This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
To this Chashva Drosh, Rabbi Gladstein, sought after speaker. We want to thank our sponsors, Levine Sippers, Ziskud, and Anderson Families, Lilo Nishmas, Mrs. Jeanette Levine. It's the Yartzid is Mamish tonight. Chaya Yachad Elka Bas Yisrael Yitzchak. As well as Norman and Rivka Ginspark, Lilo Nishmas, Aaron Ben Shlomo Doiv, and Sarachana Bas Mordechai. Gerald and Ruth Meyerhoff, also Lilo Nishmas, Yitzchak Ben Yaakov, Michael and Yael Schertz, David Levine, and Anonymous. I want to thank Anonymous for sure. I don't want Anonymous to get offended. Rabbi Gladstein is a sought-after speaker, a Rav of a shul, sought-after speaker. Usually when you say sought-after speaker, it's like, you know, nothing else to say, but Rabbi Gladstein Mamish is a sought-after speaker. In my extended family, there's a 13-year-old boy who's obsessed with Rabbi Gladstein. Mamish holds him to be his Rebbe, as well as I have my Mechotenister in Baltimore, a 6-year-old woman, also goes walking with Rabbi Gladstein every day. You didn't know that. She goes walking with you every day in Baltimore, and really, it's one of the only events we have here, Shiurim, that people ask to sponsor. So people very much appreciate your Torahs, what you have to say. It's a big schus for us to hear from Rabbi Gladstein.
Agitavach, thank you, Rav, for the warm introduction. Thank you very much. Thank you for all the sponsors. Those whose names were enumerated, those who shall remain anonymous. Special thanks to my dear friend, Rav Josh Levine, for taking the initiative to make this happen this evening and for bringing me here. And it should be an Aliyas Neshama for his mother, who among many others, Achusim, was Meister Nefesh, to send him and his mishpacha to yeshivos, chashuvos, and that allowed the whole mishpacha to be niskadel b'dar chatoira, and it should bring a great aliyah to her neshama. It's much easier to talk about chinuch habanim when my children are not present. It's also easy to talk about chinuch habanim. To actually successfully implement chinuch habanim is an entirely different story. So then, you know, we have textbook chinuch habanim, but then how it applies l'maisa, you know, you need a great deal of siyata d'shmaya and what we call the fifth shulchan aruch. But I want to bring to your attention an important Rashi in this week's parsha. I want to share with you how I would have read the Rashi, and I want to share with you how Rav Shamshin Rafal Hirsch reads Rashi. So here we go. This week's parsha is Taldais. So we have, for the first time, a family trying to raise children. Taldais, that's the name of the parsha, children. We have the father-son relationship. Ela Taldais. Yitzchak ben Avraham. Avraham hoyledes Yitzchak. And then Yitzchak has two children, Yaakov and Esav. Ultimately, they couldn't be more disparate than East and West. But they were twins. And here's what Rashi tells us. Rashi says on the pasuk, "Vayigdalu hanorim," and the children grew old. They grew up. "Vayhi Esav ish yodei atzayit ish sadeh v'Yaakov ish tam yoshev ohelim." So let's pay careful attention to the words of the pasuk. "Vayigdalu hanorim," they grew up, and then "Vayhi Esav ish yodei atzayit ish sadeh." Esav became a hunter, and Yaakov learned in the Beis Medrash. Listen to the words of Rashi. Says Rashi, Kozman shehayu ketanim, as long as they were young, lo hayu nikarim b'maseihem, they were not recognizable in their deeds. You couldn't really tell them apart. Obviously, they looked differently, but you couldn't tell that one had a different inclination or a different personality than the other. Ve'in adam medaktek b'hem ativam, people didn't pay attention to determine, to ascertain what their nature was. Kiven shenasu b'nei sholish esrei shana, when they became 13, ze pireish lebatei midrashois, this one set out to learn in the yeshiva, ve'ze pireish lebatei kacham, and this one became an idolater. The simple words of Rashi are saying that so long as they were young, who pays attention to the personality, to the inclination of the child? And then they grew up, and all of a sudden, it became clear as day that one had an inclination in one direction and the other one had an inclination in another direction. That's how I read the Rashi. I've seen the Rashi many times in my life. I think most people would have read the Rashi that way. Rav Shamshin Rafal Hirsch detects in the words of Rashi a criticism of Yaakov, of Yitzchak and Rivka. Now you have to be very careful. Because even though Chazal, in many places, in dozens of places, find and detect a critique on the Avos, whether Avram and Sarah, Yitzchak and Rivka, even when Chazal find a criticism in the Avos HaKadoshim, you have to understand the criticism is always in light of their phenomenally great levels, where to us, the Avos HaKadoshim are greater than the Malachi HaSharis. And if Chazal detect any fault in the Avos HaKadoshim, it's only lefi, their incredibly high madrega, they're being faulted and they're being put under a microscope that magnifies their sin thousands of times. But if Chazal do not detect any fault in the Avos HaKadoshim, we are not authorized to, so to speak, analyze from our own perspective and say, you know, I think Avram made a mistake over here. We're not authorized to do that. That's considered an egregious affront to the honor of the Torah and the Avos HaKadoshim. But says Rav Shamshin Rafal Hirsch, in his opinion, Rashi, quoting the Medrash Tanchuma, Chazal are detecting a critique on Yitzchak and Rivka. And that critique is, no, not that nobody paid attention. The Torah is criticizing Yitzchak and Rivka for not being perceptive and attentive enough to recognize the individual nature of their child. And they fell trapped to one of the common pitfalls in Chinuch Habanim, and that is what we call wholesale Chinuch. What's wholesale chinuch? Well, you know, my first two kids are in this school, and they do well there. And carpool becomes much easier if the third one goes to this school. So for the family in general, you know, for tuition, for carpool, and for other conveniences for me and my wife, it's better to send the third kid to this school. But the third kid would do better in the other school. Do you understand who your child is? Do you recognize the individual nature of your child? Every child has to be treated like he's the only person in the world. He's the only pikadon in the world that God gifted you with. So says Rav Shamshin Rafal Hirsch, Rashi, quoting Chazal, is criticizing Yitzchak and Rivka. Why didn't they recognize that the chinuch that they gave Yaakov Avinu will not work for Esav? Says Rav Shamshin Rafal Hirsch, what happened to the kid? Here you have an Esav. He became a murderer. What happened to him? Nature or nurture? Yes, he had a nature, but it's the parents' fault. What was the problem? The problem is they gave Esav Yaakov's chinuch. They told Esav, look at Yaakov. You see how well he sits and he learns for hours and hours and hours? You're going to do what Yaakov did. You're going to sit and you're going to learn for hours and hours. And they destroyed him. Could we say this? We're not allowed to say that. Could Chazal say that? This is a tradition of Chazal, Misinai. In other words, Esav woke up in the morning and he said, I'm not capable of being an Ishtam Yoshev Ayhalam. I'm not capable of sitting in the Beis Medrash Yom V'Laila. I'm energetic. I need to be out in the world. And I can't be a Yaakov Avinu. So what should they have done? They should have recognized that the nature of Esav is different than Yaakov, and they should have harnessed his ability and his inclination and his talent to be active for the Jewish people, to be involved in communal affairs, to take a little bit of a different path than Yaakov Avinu. And they didn't do that. And they ruined him. Who says that? Rashi, according to Rav Shamshin Rafal Hirsch, which is the first and most basic rule when it comes to chinuch. We talk about it, we say it, everyone subscribes to it, chanoich lenar al pidarkoi, but chanoich lenar al pidarkoi means that before they turn age 13, when they're 1 and 2 and 3, you're looking at them in the crib, are they the kind that's very gentle and they're not crying too loud? And they're not annoyed and aggravated when they don't get what they want? Or are they aggressive and you're studying them and you're analyzing them and you're trying to understand their personality and their makeup? Because you know what? You cannot provide chinuch to a child if you don't know who the child is. And the primary and the most fundamental responsibility of the parent is that you need to be makir b'ma'aseihem. You need to recognize their actions. You need to be medakdek b'hem ma'ativam. You need to study and be analytical. What is their nature? You can't wait till when they turn 13 and all of a sudden you realize that what you wanted for them doesn't work for them. Or vice versa. You may be an active kind of person and you're out in the world and you can never imagine or see yourself being studious or applying yourself to long-term learning. And you're not realizing that for your child, he could be a scholar, he could be a Talmud Chacham. And you want to push him into what your father did or what you did or what you know your brother did. But you can't do that to the kid. Do you know who your child is? Who is the gift? Who is the pikadon that God gave you? You know, there's a similar idea that Rav Shamshon Falher says that, you know, what was the mistake? You have these two boys, Kayin and Hevel. And Kayin also, he became a murderer. You know, what happened with him? What was the mistake the parents made? And Rav Shamshon Falher says, you know what the mistake is? It started with the name. It started with the name. The name the parents gave was Kayin. Kayin means acquisition. God gave him to us. We own him. He's ours. The child is mine. And I'm going to do with him, you know, I have my car and I drive it the way I want. And I have my house and I decorate it the way I want. And I have my kid, and I do with him or her what I want. But that infiltrated the personality of Kayin. So now Kayin sees the world as ownership, possession, competition. And he doesn't like the fact that Hevel is sharing the world with him. So the parents projected their attitude toward life into him through his name. No, a child, you don't own your child. I know you would like to. And I would like to. We would all like to own our children. They're not given, they're our pikadon. They're given to us as security, to watch, to guard, to harness. We don't own them. We're given them for safekeeping, to develop them, to cultivate them. I want to share with you some ideas that emerge from none other than Parshas Toldos, this coming week's Parsha. I hope what I say you find controversial. But I stand behind it. And there's no budging on it. And there will be nothing that anyone could say. Because it will be so firmly based in Gedolei HaDoros from the beginning of time until the Gedolim of today. But it might not be so easy to swallow. And that's always a good way to rile up an audience on Matzoy Shabbos. Okay. So here we go. Yaakov and Esav. Yaakov and Esav have very different ways of speaking to their parents. We know that Rashi says that Yaakov is very polite. Yaakov always says, please, kom na. And Esav is very rude. Esav never says, please. And we know Yaakov always invokes the name of Hashem. And Esav never invokes the name of Hashem. And that was the confusion over here. Because when this individual, who was Yaakov, masqueraded as Esav, appears before the father, Yitzchak says, HaKol kol Yaakov, Ayadayim yidei Esav. I don't understand who's in front of me. You know, you feel you're hairy. You know, by the way, Jewish kids always have allergies, you know. They're always itchy, like... You ever notice that? Like, Jews are always itchy. So it's Masei Avoy Simen Labanim. It says, you know, why were they kicking to get out? Because Esav was hairy and Yaakov was itchy. That's what Tosfos says. On the sixth parasha. I'm sorry, you know who says that? The Baal HaTurim. in his, the Perush HaTor, not in the Baal HaTorim itself, the Perush HaTor, he says Yaakov was smooth and Esav was hairy and Yaakov was itchy. He's like, get me out of here, you know? So it's Masay of his Jews. Jewish kids are always itchy. I know my kids have eczema, you know, there are food allergies. Anyway, Yaakov, that has nothing to do with anything. Yaakov, it was a long Shabbos. I was in Boca, you know, spoke at 19 Minyanim over there, you know. No, it's amazing what's going on here. Okay, so Yaakov is polite. Yaakov Avinu is invoking the name of Hashem. And Yitzchak's very confused. Who's this guy standing in front of me? But the Chassam Sofer, quoting his Rebbe, Reb Nosson Adler, has an amazing observation. He says there's actually another discrepancy between the way Yaakov spoke to his father and the way Esav spoke to his father, but it would almost seem like Esav had more respect for his father than Yaakov had. And that is, when Yaakov is conversing with his father, Yaakov says, Kumna, get up, please. Second person, you, get up, please. But when Esav comes to Yitzchak, he says, Yakum Avi, third person, will the Tata get up? You hear the difference? Where Yaakov Avinu says, Kumna, second person, he talks to him directly. And Esav says, Yakum Avi, will the father get up? Third person, like you talk to the Rav. Would the Rav, will the Rav, right? But it's danger. Don't get fooled by it, okay? You know, well, especially if they say, with all due respect, duck. It's danger, run away. Say, phone call, I'm sorry. We'll come back to you on that one. I'm telling you, I know from experience, okay? The worst thing is with all due respect. Also, beware of constructive criticism. Okay? I always say, I'm willing to take any type of criticism as long as it's not constructive. That's dangerous. Constructive criticism is very dangerous. Also, the worst kind of Lashon Hara is litoyelas. You know? I'm telling you litoyelas, meaning the guy's about to speak moitzi shem ra agama, you know? Anyway, that's just, you know, rabbi to rabbi. So, Rav Nosson Adler says, what's going on over here? Yaakov Avinu is speaking to his father in second person, kumna, and Esav is speaking third person, Yaakov Avi, says the Chassam Sofer, quoting his Rebbe, Rav Nosson Adler, that's the difference between the Jewish people and the nations of the world. By the nations of the world, there's a generation gap, there's a disconnect between parent and child. So there's a certain formality where the child says, will the father? Because there's a lack of closeness between parent and child. But by Klal Yisrael, there's a concept, bra kara davua, a child brings merit to the father. Bra mizaka abba, a child brings zechusim to a parent. Therefore, there's such closeness. Jewish people do not refer to their parent in third person, second person, because of the love, because of the closeness, because of the friendship between child and parent. So what I would like to bring across tonight is a central ingredient in parenting, and that is, you ready for this? Friendship. Friendship between parent and child. Okay? But I'm only getting started. So if you're uncomfortable with this, now's the time to go. Says Reb Schwab, in a few places, he says, let me prove to you, because we have to understand, if you want to be a good parent, you need to know what the job description of a parent is. You know, how would you describe parent? What does it mean to be a father and mother? Teacher, guide, mentor. What does it mean to be a father and mother? Chauffeur, cook. What is a parent? Says Reb Schwab, listen to the following pasuk. Okay, the pasuk is talking about the most severe avera in the whole Torah. The seducer, the mesis. That is the most severe, somebody who tries to seduce another Jew to worship idols. And it doesn't matter how close they are to you. They could be a blood relative, but listen to the choices of people who could be the seducer. Ki yisischa achicha, if your brother tries to seduce you. Aybitcha, aybincha, your son, your daughter. Oyeshes chekecha, or your wife. Oireacha asher kenafshecha. Or your soul friend. You hear this? There's someone in the Torah who's called your soul friend. Your best friend. Who is this person? Right? We have a new individual in our life. You have a brother. You have a son. You have a daughter. And Reacha asher kenafshecha, or your friend like your soul. You ready for a Rashi? By the way, Rashi was an Orthodox rabbi. You know that? Says Rashi, Reacha asher kenafshecha, ze avicha. It's your parent. It's your parent. Says Rav Schwab, from here we learn the definition of parenthood. To be your child's friend. Now that might sound foreign to you. This is what Rashi says. But let's take this further. You say, I don't know, it's only one Rashi. I don't know how to deal with that Rashi, you know? Let's put that Rashi on the side. Let me share with you a more blatant Rashi. Remember when Yosef HaTzadik finally reveals himself to the brothers? And Yosef says, you know, I'm Yosef. Ha'oid of Ichai? Is dad still alive? And the brothers were frightened. The brothers were scared. The brothers didn't know what to say. So Yosef says, don't worry. Don't sweat it. Ki lemichya shalachani elikim. God sent me to support you. You ready for this? Vayisimeni la'av leparoi. God made me a father for Parai. Vayisimeni le'av leparoi. God made me Pharaoh's av. Now what is that supposed to mean? Yosef is the father of Parai? You ready for a Rashi? Le'av lechaver ulepatrein. His friend and his supporter. Says Reb Schwab, from here we learn the definition of parent in the lexicon of the Torah. You know what parent means? To be your child's best friend and supporter. And the barometer to measure how successful we are being in being a parent is, are you your kid's best friend in the world? If you are, A+. That's the sole barometer. Who says that? Rashi. By the way, Rashi has an interesting title. You know, the Shita Mekubetzah says above Metziar, Rashi is Rabban Ve'avihen Shel Yisrael. He's the Rebbe and the father of the Jewish people. So if there's anyone who knows what it means to be a father, it's got to be Rashi. But let's develop this even further. Because in 2 weeks, we're going to read Parshas Vayetze. And remember when Yaakov Avinu is running away from his father-in-law? So he finally runs away from Lavan, and Lavan catches up with him. And Yaakov doesn't know what to do. So Yaakov says, you know, let's have a party. Let's make a suda. So the pasuk says, Vayomer Yaakov le'achiv. Yaakov says to his brothers. So Rashi's bothered. Yaakov says to his brothers. He doesn't have brothers. He has one brother, Esav. And Yaakov's not calling Esav to gather stones. So Rashi wants to know, who are these brothers of Yaakov Avinu? Says Rashi, his brothers, Haim Banav, his children. His children. Says the Chida, Reb Chaim Yosef David Azulai, Rashi is revealing to us that if you want to be a successful parent, when you're dealing, the words of the Chida are, with your older children, maybe adult children, maybe teenager children, you need to treat them not like your children, but like your brothers. Says the Chida, then you will have tranquility in your house. If you don't deal with them as their superior, but you deal with them as their brothers, not as their superior, you will have successful peace in your house. Then the Chida says, this is rooted in the Sefer Chassidim. Now the Sefer Chassidim is one of the strictest Svarim you will ever encounter. It's like the the Chomer of the original Chachmei Ashkenaz. The Sefer Hasidim brings the Gematria, Hinei Matoiv Umanoim Sheves Achim Gam Yochad, says the Sefer Hasidim, Achim Gam Gematria Bonim. Bonim. So here we have it. Chassam Sofer, Rashi, Reb Shimon Schwab, the Chida, from 1,000 years ago until today. And if you want to know, it was very interesting to me, I noticed throughout the writings of the Chida, whenever the Chida writes something that one of his children told him, if you look in Shema Gedolim, if you look in any of the Sarm Lechida, the Chida always says, by the way, Shamati, Mehaben, Yakirli, Yedid Nafshi, the Chida says about his children. My beloved friend, whenever the Chida cites his children, he calls them his beloved friend. So you say, really? We should treat our children like our friend? I remember I once said this over, and somebody asked me, you know, I just went to PTA the other night, and the principal said that the number one rule is, your children are not your friends. So I said, look, I'm not big enough to argue on the principle, but maybe Rashi is. You know, maybe Rashi and the Chassam Sofer and the Chida and the Sefer Hasidim and Reb Shimon Schwab, maybe they could argue. But you say, I don't know, maybe that was 1,000 years ago, but today we have to be much stricter, you know? We got to really whip them into shape. In the official biography of the Chafetz Chaim, written by his son, okay, it's in Dugma Midarche Avi. The Chafetz Chaim's son says that we were pretty lousy when it came to Ish Imai V'Aviv Tira'u. And we were even more lousy when it came to Kabeid Asavicha V'Yasimecha. You know why? Ki Hishalech Imanu Kirea Ka'ach, because he treated us like we're his friends. So we weren't even able to really be Mechabed him. That's how the Chafetz Chaim treated his children. The Chafetz Chaim, by the way, was also an Orthodox rabbi. That's how the Chafetz Chaim treated his children. He let them sit in his seat. He wasn't makbed. However, if they didn't treat other people with the proper respect, that's when the Chafetz Chaim, you know, made sure to instruct them. This is all warm-up. Whatever we've learned so far, I'm just warming up, okay? But here's what we're warming up for, okay? Let's come to Akedas Yitzchak. This is literally one of the most astounding things. Now, I don't like this. I don't like to say this in front of my kids because they may remind me of this. Like I said, it's very easy to deliver this. Putting it into practice is another story entirely. So Hashem comes to Avram Avinu. He says, Avram, kachna es bincha, es yechidcha, asher ahavta, es Yitzchak. But it starts off, v'ho'elokim nisas Avraham v'ayoymer, elav Avraham v'ayoymer, hineni, behold, here I am. What does the word hineni mean? Says Rashi, hineni, lashon anava, the Lashon Zimon, a language of humility and being prepared to fulfill your bidding. In other words, Ribbono Shel Olam, I am here, ready, prepared to do whatever you ask me. Hineni is like Avram Avinu is mevatel himself before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A little while later, Avram Avinu is walking together with Yitzchak. And Yitzchak says, Vayomer Yitzchak el Aviv. Avi? Dad? We're doing this? And Avram says to him one word, Vayomer, hineni. Behold, here I am. Wait a second. What does hineni mean? Lashon anava, humility. But Avram Avinu used that word to talk to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And now he's saying it to Yitzchak. Says Rav Gamliel Rabinovich. From here we learn, with the same humility that you have to speak to the creator of the universe, you need to speak to your children. Says Rav Gamliel, every difficult situation in Eretz Yisrael comes to my doorstep. When there's trouble, you always come to me. Don't tell me that I'm offering you some new vogue idea, and no, this is not the way in the Alta Haim, this is not how they used to do it, and then when you have trouble, you have to come to me. Says Gamliel, we learn from Avraham Avinu that the way and the humility with which you speak to the creator of the universe, you need to talk to your children. Says Gamliel, let me tell you something. What we ask a young man, a young woman to do today in 2025, we say, no, don't ignore the outside world. Don't be taken in by the allure of the secular world. Don't immerse yourself in the media. Don't get involved in technology. What we ask a kid to do today is a nesayon on par with Akedas Yitzchak, if not more difficult. Says Rav Gamliel, there's no question in my mind that the way Avraham was successful in equipping Yitzchak to pass the Akedah is because Avraham showed him that he values him and he spoke to him with humility and he gave him esteem that his father values him and doesn't talk down to him. Says Rav Gamliel, there is no question in my mind that the way Avraham was zoicha to establish a son like Yitzchak, who is the God al-Hadar, is by speaking to him with humility. Now I'm afraid to tell you the next thing. Actually, I think Rav Gamliel was afraid to say the next thing because in the new edition of the Sefer, it took it out. And I think the reason why it took it out is, I don't know how you could say it, honestly. I would think it's heretical. So they took it out, rightfully. But let me tell you what it said before they censored it. Okay? But don't quote me. Don't say, you know, Gladstein came to Hollywood and he said this. No, I'm saying that it shouldn't have been said. But I'm telling you what it said and then why they took it out. But take it with many grains of salt, okay? But not anything earlier I said. Don't even sprinkle one grain of salt on it. I meant every word. Rav Gamliel said he heard from his mother. No, let me read to you his words. Margala bepumadi, my mother always said. Now the following statement is heretical, and that's why they probably took it out. But his mother said, if the Torah was given today, with that statement alone, you can't say. We mean, it wouldn't say honor your father and mother. It would say the opposite. Now obviously, you can't say that. What it means is that if you want your children to honor you, in this generation, you have to know how to talk to them. So in the new editions of Tiv HaTorah, you're not going to find that. But in the original edition that I have, it says that. And he doesn't say that his mother said it once. He said his mother always said it. And Gamliel's mother was an Orthodox woman. Says Rav Gamliel, this is the only way that works in our times, and it's the only way that ever worked. So it doesn't matter. Don't say, you know, in this place, in that place, this is what works. This goes back to the times of Rashi. It's documented by Chassam Sofer, the Chidah, the Chafetz Chaim, that now, obviously, you're giving over values, and you're giving over direction, and you're giving over all of the teachings that we need to give it over, but in what kind of media? In other words, what is the relationship? Is it authoritarian or is it friendship? And especially with older children, if you want to have a successful and peaceful relationship, this is the way that works. Hineni, Lashon Anava, V'Lashon Ziman. You know, I saw an amazing idea in a sefer. This sefer is an incredible sefer. It was written by the tzaddik of Ranana. He was a mekubal. He happened to be a chavrusa, my great-grandfather. My great-grandfather was a the last Rav in Sachachav. And this Tzaddik Ranana never had children. He actually writes that anyone who says over his Divrei Torah, he'll bail you out of any trouble in this world or the next world, which is always a good way if you want to get people to buy your sefer. You know, that's always... obviously, that was like goinus, you know? And he says, you know, if you look at the beginning of the Akedah starts, Achar Adar Ma'ilah, V'alaykim Nisas Avram, God tested Avram, V'ayoymer Elav Avraham, V'ayoymer Hineni, right? This is the beginning of the Akedah. The Akedah begins, what's the test? V'alaykim Nisas Avram, V'ayoymer Avraham, he said Avraham, and Avraham said, yeah. What is this pasuk? That's the test of the Akedah, that Hashem said Avraham, and Avraham said, yeah? Get cut to the chase. What is this, masterpiece theater? What's all this formality? And the Almighty said, Avraham, and Avraham said, behold, here I am. Just cut to the chase. Just say, Kachna, es bincha, sichitcha, shahavta, es yitzcha. So the Tzaddik Ranana says, you know, usually when Hashem calls Avraham, he says, like at the end of the Akedah, Avraham, Avraham, double ashen. You know what the test of the Akedah was? You know, if Hashem would have called to Avraham and say, Avraham, Avraham! I would say, whoa, it's me and Yaakov and Moshe Rabbeinu. I'm on like the Mount Rushmore in the Tanakh. Yeah, bring it on. I could do anything. I know you have a high opinion of me. But Hashem says, let's see you pass the test when I talk to you like you're a nobody. That's the test of the Akedah. The test of the Akedah is, Avraham, you're a regular, simple person. You get no special attention. I'm not showing you any affection. Now let's see if you could do something above and beyond. That was a very difficult test because when you speak to somebody that way, right? Imagine you tell somebody, I don't really think that you're too capable. Would you mind doing X, Y, and Z for me? There's no way you're going to get a good job. People live up or down to the way you talk to them. And Avraham sees Vayaras Hamakoy Merachoy, he sees God off in the distance. He doesn't really feel that close to Hashem. And the test is, if Hashem's talking to you that way, could you still pass this test? And Avraham passes with flying colors. That's why right after the Akedah, Hashem says, look, let's set the record straight. Avraham, Avraham, I know exactly who you are. I was just testing you. But it's interesting. Avraham sure doesn't talk to Yitzchak that way. Now let me explain. In Parshas Vayetze, when Yaakov Avinu has the dream, so he sees the Malachim going up and down the ladder. Listen very carefully. It says, "V'hine Hashem nitzav alav vayomer, ani Hashem elokei Avraham avicha ve'elokei Yitzchak." You hear what's going on? Hashem's talking to Yaakov. He's saying, I'm the God of Avraham, your father. What? Avraham is not Yaakov's father. And the God of Yitzchak. But Yitzchak is his father. So it should say, Ani Hashem Elokei Avraham ve'Elokei Yitzchak Avicha. It says the opposite. I'm the God of Avraham, your father. He's not the father. And the God of Yitzchak, he is the father. So there's an incredible Rabbeinu Ephraim. Rabbeinu Ephraim says, why would they call the grandfather father and the father nothing? Says Rabbeinu Ephraim, one of the Rishonim, the Chida quotes, is that, you know that Yaakov and Avram were alive in the same time. They were alive 15 years together. And Yaakov learned extensively with Avraham. And Avraham loved Yaakov Avinu. And because he loved him so much, he called him Beni, Beni, Beni. So Hashem says, You're affectionately speaking to your son. You're the father. But Yitzchak never called Yaakov Bani. Now, once in the Torah do we find Yitzchak calling Yaakov Bani. Esav! Vayomer hineni miata Bani. Ma'azem mehatim soy Bani. Gishana mishcha Bani. Now, he was actually talking to Yaakov, but he thought he was talking to Esav. To Esav, Bani, 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 Bani. Yaakov, nothing. Says Rabbeinu Ephraim. Avraham called Yaakov Bani. Avram's the dad. Avram's the father. Yitzchak did not call him Bani. He's not the father. What do we learn from here? Says the Chida. that when you talk to your children, you have to speak to them affectionately. Mamala, Zizkeit, Yingala, whatever expression you want to use. You can't tell your kids you love them. Put them on someone else's doorstep and give them up for adoption. You're not their parent. You've abdicated your role. You can't do it. You're not equipped to do the job. You can't express to your child when you talk to them that you love them. Take them, put them in a basket, wrap them up, and put them on someone else's doorstep. You can't do the basic job. You're not equipped. You're not emotionally capable of being the kid's parent. Avraham is called Yaakov's father. Yitzchak's not called the father. It's interesting, by the Akedah, even though the Ribbono Shel Olam is telling Avraham, you know, you're just Avraham, you're just Avraham. Now let's see if you could pass this. But Avraham makes sure every time he talks to Yitzchak, Bani, Bani, you know, the Mefarshim ask, why is this a test for Avraham and not a test for Yitzchak? Because if Yitzchak hears from the father the affection that the father has, of course he's going to do it. For him, it's not a test. The test is, Avraham is hearing from the Almighty nothing, just his name. That's a big challenge. That's a big test. All of this is just food for thought. Here's the most important aspect of Chinuch Habanim. The Medrash tells us a story of a great Kohen who lived in the times of Ezra. And the Medrash says that this Kohen, he would wallow in the dust, he would roll on the floor, and he would cry and he would pray and he would beseech HaKadosh Baruch Hu that his children grow up to be Yirei Elohim. Says the Medrash, the Kohen did not leave this world until he went up with Ezra to Eretz Yisrael and he saw many generations of Kohanim Gedolim. Says Lishla, from here we learn that the central ingredient in raising children is tefillah. Incessant tefillah. You know, the Shlach HaKadosh says the following words, Tamid tia tefillah shigura b'fi avaim lehispalel alzaram. It should be frequent in the mouth of a father and mother to daven for their children. You don't just daven for them on Erev Rosh Chodesh Sivan when you get bombarded by emails from every school you ever went to. And that, yeah, of course, I daven for my children on Erev Rosh Chodesh Sivan. That's a good start. Tamid. You know what Tamid means? Tamid means every day, all day long. That means when you're driving carpool, when you're shopping, when you're walking down the street, you're praying for the welfare of your children. And the Shlach HaKadosh identifies three key intervals in davening when you should have in mind to daven for your children. And the Shlach says, what should you daven for? That they should be loim de Torah, they should learn Torah, they should be tzaddikim and balei midos tovos. What are the three intervals in Berachas HaTorah when you say v'niyah anachnu v'tzatzoinu? In Ahava Rabba, when you say v'sein b'libeinu b'ino l'havin l'haskel, and at the end of Avodat Zion, when you say l'man l'niga l'rik v'leinele l'vahal. There are other intervals that you could focus on, whether ata choinein, whether hashivenu. The point is not exactly where you have it in mind. The point is it's not relegated to like a specific day or a specific line in the Siddur. It's something that a Jew should be doing every day, all day long. It is the primary obligation of a parent. You know, it's very interesting. You know, the halacha is that if somebody is standing on a roof and they accidentally, you know, they throw a hammer or something like that, or a saw, and they kill someone b'shoigeg, so what do? They have to run away to the Ari Miklat. And how long does somebody who kills b'shoigeg have to stay in the Ari Miklat? Until the Kohen Gadol dies. So can you imagine, you know, you have 100 of these criminals in the Ari Miklat, and they have a nice shul. They built a beautiful shul over there. And after davening, they give a clap. They say, Shir amalois mi mamakim. What happened? Who's sick? No. The problem is not that someone is sick. The problem is that someone is not sick. Who are you davening for? So his name is, Feivel HaKohen. What happened to him? What, how, you didn't hear? Nothing happened to him yet. We've been davening. We've been crying. You know, they want the Kohen Gadol to die. So the Gemara asks, what did the poor Kohen Gadol do wrong that people have to run away into the Ari Miklat until the Kohen Gadol dies? Says the Gemara, because the Kohen Gadol is at fault. He should have davened that under his reign, nobody killed B'Shagig. So as for Voba, since when is it the job description of a Kohen Gadol to daven every day, nobody should kill B'Shagig so long as I'm Kohen Gadol? It says that in Masech Yuma. You ever see Masech Yuma? Could you show me on what daf does it say? The job of a Kohen Gadol is that no one should throw axes by accident. Kohen Gadol has to bring karbonos. He has to do that. Void in the Beis Hamikdash. It's his. Where does it say it's his responsibility to daven that nobody kills b'shoigeg? Says Reb Volba. From here we see that if you're in a position of leadership, your position of authority, you're a teacher, you're a rebbe, you're a rav, you're a parent, there are people that you're responsible for. Your primary job is to daven for the people you're responsible for. You don't need a Gemara. You don't need a daf. Lomali kra svarahu. Obviously, if you're a leader, you need to daven for the people you're leading. And if you're a parent, you need to daven for your children. When I was in yeshiva with Reb Josh, in yeshiva Chafetz Chaim, this goes back 28 years ago, I had the zechus to meet a certain tzaddik who is the last or one of the last surviving students of the Chafetz Chaim, Rav Mordechai Tzuckerman. Rav Mordechai Tzuckerman. I actually met him on a different occasion. And I once read an interview. There's a sefer, like a six-volume set, Meir Einei Yisrael. It's a biography on the Chafetz Chaim. And they interviewed Reb Mordechai Tzuckerman, and they asked him the following question. He says, you know, your Rebbe, the Chafetz Chaim, he wasn't a Dar Deah. There were hundreds, there were thousands of great Gedolei Yisrael. So, like, what was it about the Chafetz Chaim that he was a cut above? And Reb Tzuckerman said four things. One of them was the tears of his mother. His mother's tears. The Chafetz Chaim would always show people the tear-drenched Tehillim of his mother. And the Chafetz Chaim would say that I am who I am from this Tehillim. My mother used to cry bitter tears that I should be Yirei Shamayim. And you know where she learned it from? When she was a young girl and she was a kala, her mother came over to her. And her mother said to her, you know, it's the minhag of Jewish women that we daven for our children. So whenever you have a moment, maybe you're stirring the pot of potatoes, you're stirring the lentils, you're cleaning the house, don't forget to daven for your children and make sure you accompany it with tears. Says the Briska Rav, never in my life did I offer a dry-eyed Shemayna Esrei. Every Shemayna Esrei I ever prayed, I cried tears that my children should go on the straight and the narrow. As is well known that in the early days of the State of Israel, there were many, many Gedolei Yisrael that lost children to different movements. Ein bayis asher ein shames. But the Briska Rav had all his sons sitting around the table, and people used to come to him, what's the technique? What parenting class did you go to? What eitzah do you follow? And the Briska Rav said, there are no eitzahs, no parenting courses. There's tehillim and tears. The Briska Rav says, you know why children have so much trauma today? It's because when their parents rock them to sleep, they sing them inane lullabies about children climbing up hills and rolling down and becoming decapitated on the way down. And people wonder why children have so much anxiety, because all they hear about is Jack and Jill breaking their heads open from the time that they're young. That's just my own rabbinic addition. He didn't actually say it quite like that. But he says, parents sing to their children nursery rhymes. When I rock my children to sleep, it's with Tehillim that they should be zoicha to grow l'toira u'lamasim toivim. I'll tell you two stories. Somebody once came to the Stipler says Stipler, a parent came to the Stipler and said, could you give us some Eitzah in raising children? You know, is there a segula? Is there an Eitzah? Is there a bracha? The Stipler says, give me a break. There are no skulais, there are no Eitzahs, there are no brachais. All there is Tehillim and tears. You see my little boy, you see my boy Chaimel here, the Stipler says. Every day I daven that Chaimel should be a Yirei Shamayim. Chaimel was already 52 years old, one of the Gedolei Hadar. And then I saw a story in the Yater Neman, so obviously it's true. It says that when the Stipler was 84 years old and Reb Chaim was 58, Reb Chaim would learn with the Stipler every day after Mincha. And one day the Reb Chaim came over to the Stipler and he said, you know, today I'm not going to be able to learn with you because there's a Yasaim and a Yasaima that I was Meshadech and I need to go to their wedding to be Mesameach, Chasan V'Kala, Yasaim V'Yasaima. So, you know, on Shul Dikmir, if it's okay, I'm going to go to the wedding during our slot. So they daven Mincha, and then the Reb Chaim just wants to say goodbye after Mincha, and he sees the Stipler is sitting there. He's crying his heart out. He's yoreh demais, like oceans of tears. So after Mincha, before Reb Chaim leaves, he says, Tata, what happened? What's the tzara? Is somebody ill? Says the Stipler, you don't understand. From the time you're a little boy, I've been davening that you should become a Talmud Chacham, and now what's happening to you? Without getting into the details of that particular story, it's to illustrate, you know, where Reb Chaim came from. Where you think Reb Chaim came. Reb Chaim came, you could imagine, from oceans of tears of a tzaddik, of a father, like the Stipler. But that's an important aspect. I remember my grandfather, who was a Holocaust survivor, he passed away a couple years ago at 106 years old. He would talk about his mother, who was a tzaddikess, and he said over one time he was very ill, but he remembers his mother sitting over him, and she was yorei demois, and the tears went on him, and he had a refuah. But you can imagine those tears were oimed for him for a very long time. And I'm pretty sure that they continue to be oimed for our family for many generations. And that's our responsibility as parents. Certainly when children see the investment we make in them, especially in the area of tefillah, aside from the spiritual effect it has on them, they'll see how important they are to us. And Be'ezus Hashem, where Hashem should be mekabel all of our tefillos, we should all be zoicha to the nachas that we hope and pray for. We should all be zoicha banim uvnei banim oiskim b'Torah v'mitzvos. Thank you very much.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.